This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Here comes Brown. And that ball was hit high and deep down the right field line. Tucker looking. It is gone! Inside the right field foul pole. An opposite field home run for Adolis Garcia. The home run streak stretches to four. The Rangers lead 4-1.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan.
How long was that commercial break?
Man,
for you personally,
if you were wondering, is Mike talking even through the audio up till the last second? The answer is yes.
Let's do it.
We talked earlier in the show about picking up Skip Schumacher as a senior advisor to the president of baseball operations, Chris Young. He's only 44, and we all feel like he is the manager in waiting.
I think so.
Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe Bochy wants to stick around longer and he doesn't end up going somewhere else next year, but it feels like that. So I wanted to take a look at a couple of other things that either we or other folks think need to be fixed with this Rangers team. First, I'm going to throw out the World Series odds for next year. Probably won't surprise you to know the Dodgers are number one. What might surprise you, though, the Texas Rangers are ninth on that list at 22-1. And
it's not horrible.
No, not at all. That's actually a little bit better than I would have guessed. For a team, you're the fourth team in the American League. For a team that didn't make the playoffs this past year, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, and I think they have to look at it in who you have coming back, but then also being ninth is they look at it and go, hey, from what they understand, what we understand, and we're telling you what we've heard is, look, the spending is going to be very limited this offseason. They might have to move some pieces around to make sure that Eovaldi comes back and Tyler Yates comes back. But besides that, you're not really going to add. I'd love to add Anthony Santander. Perfect for this offense. Ain't happening. He's going to be making $25 to $30 million a year. They don't have that. As far as I understand, they don't.
Okay. Now, you've talked about this pitcher a lot, and I just wanted to throw out a note that I saw from Evan Grant. Roky Sasaki, the pitcher that apparently the Rangers covet, he's not 25 yet. So if he's posted in signs after January 15th, no team would have to pay more than its international bonus pool pot. For the Rangers, that's $6.26 million.
Okay.
And so, like, for the potential that he has, that would be an incredible steal. I could see why the posting would take place quicker, and they would be like, you have to get this done before then so we can negotiate a different deal.
Here's what I don't know. Can you just use all of that money and go, we're just not signing any other free, like we're not signing any Dominicans, Venezuelans.
I believe that is correct.
We are going to go a year without signing any, let's say, Latin Americans.
Yes.
Because we want him so bad. And I'm not saying that's a bad decision. It does limit you in your depth and development. But if you need to win this, and I do think the Rangers have him number one on the board for, he's not a free agent, but in that kind of category of he's available to all teams. I think that's their number one guy that wasn't on the Rangers last year.
Okay, then would number two, and he would fit into this first category, obviously, re-signing Nathan Eovaldi.
Yes.
What are the financial parameters that you feel good about? I say, I'm going to throw this out there, 3 for $55 million.
Okay, I was going to say 2 for $40 million.
Okay. Do you accept both, either of those deals?
4 for $75 million.
I would get scared about a four-year deal, to be honest.
I would say no to that, probably.
I bet he'd say yes.
I'm pretty sure. If we offer him 2 for $40 million, 3 for $55 million, or 4 for $75 million, I have a pretty good feeling he's taking your offer, Corey.
Yes.
Yep, I win.
I would also.
These suckers don't have a pitcher now.
Okay, but
even if we upped our offer by $1 million, we probably still lose.
Would you be in on 3 for $55 million?
Yeah. I actually like Mike's deal more.
Oh, I do too.
Okay, yes.
I'm just saying, if he's looking for a three-year deal, are you willing to make that jump from 2 for $40 million to 3 for $55 million? Which I realize is a lower annual value, but you do eat that
third
year.
If I look, he's a great pitcher whenever it's big time.
Yeah.
So, and if I plan on being in those big situations, I want that guy on the mound.
And so, if I have to go to a third year, at like if I'm looking at it and maybe I'm assuming, this might be a wrong assumption, I'm not going to get anything out of the third year. If I have to, it makes it difficult, but spreading it to a third year might help. I'd have to look at my finances. This is where obviously you sit down with kind of your budget guys.
Yes.
Hey, can you give me an idea? And I don't know if Chris Young gets this or not. Can you give me an idea what my budget would be in 2027?
Yeah.
Because, awesome. Because this would give me a better idea on what I want to go with lengthwise on a Nathan Eovaldi, or if there was another free agent that they needed to go in on a 3 or 4 year deal, it gives you a better idea of what my budget could be. I get it could change, but are we going to be a spender above the tax in 2026 or 27? If you're saying, I believe we can be a spender at this level, then it gives me a better idea on how to spend my money and the future money.
Now, we didn't get a chance to bring this up at the beginning of the week. Again, this is something that Evan Grant threw out as a potential idea. What about trading Marcus Semien? Now, I know there's a lot to unpack here, but one of the reasons I wanted to throw that out there is we have talked a lot about, Corey looks very concerned, we've talked a lot about the financial flexibility that this team has. You're paying for premium years right now, and it kind of feels like maybe you're not going to get them anymore. I could be off about that, but they've already discussed wanting to move him off of leadoff and give him more days off. So, like,
yeah,
clearly they feel comfortable with, like, scaling it down a little bit. What do you think about the concept, I guess, of trading Marcus Semien?
Mike, you're around it. Do all the guys in that clubhouse just adore Marcus Semien?
Yeah, this answer for me is absolutely no if you're around the team.
Okay.
Right. I'm not saying Evan Grant didn't put out a quality article. I didn't
read
it.
By the way, he said, I think like 8 or 10% he thinks that will happen.
And so I would just look at it, and just watching this morning, Skip Schumacher talk about culture and what you want around. Corey Seager is only a leader with how he plays, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Marcus Semien is more of a leader being on the field, doing the early work, working double plays with Ezekiel Duran and Josh Smith if they need a little bit of extra work. Like, nothing against Corey Seager. I'm just, and if you go early, you'd see this. Like, Corey's not out there doing a lot of the teamwork.
Yeah.
He has his own individual plan to get him ready for the 7 o'clock game. And the Rangers are fine with that. They know what Corey needs to do, what he believes he needs to do to be the best player for the Texas Rangers at 7 p.m. first pitch.
And Boach had Barry Bonds. He knew how to handle that guy.
But Marcus Semien is your veteran leader by far. It's not close for the position players. Eovaldi's your leader from your veteran pitching standpoint. So I think that those two guys are very valuable to have. And I do think Marcus Semien, I think he would tell you he had a down year or a bad year. I don't know what word he would use. I don't think he's going to have that bad or down of a year this upcoming season. And I do think I would put Wyatt Langford as my leadoff hitter. That's what I would do. And I'd have Corey Seager batting second. And then I have to make a decision. Where does Marcus Semien now fit in my lineup? Third, fourth, fifth, or sixth. That's where I would have him hitting. I don't know which one. It also is determined on how well is Evan Carter doing? Is the matchup right? I can't have Evan Carter batting third. I do not want a left-handed pitcher coming in late in the game when the game's on the line and I have Corey Seager and Evan Carter batting back-to-back. That makes zero sense. So I have to worry about where Evan Carter bats around my other left-handed hitters. Marcus Semien, do you feel like he still has enough power, pop, RBI capabilities to bat third in your lineup? Do you feel like Josh Young, without playing much, can take a step into batting third for you? I don't know.
Do you assume that Robertson and Chafin are definitely, definitely gone? So Robertson turned down his option, and then the Rangers turned down Chafin's option for next year.
I'm pretty sure Chafin, they'll move on from him. He just didn't work out here. Sometimes pitchers can be hot and cold as bullpen guys. He was cold here. So I think they're going to move on from Chafin. I think Robertson, they have interest in. I just don't know if he's going to play baseball anymore. Oh.
I didn't know that. I had not heard that.
I think that there's a possibility of him just retiring.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know the answer. I think that Chafin they're going to move on from, I believe. I could be wrong. And then I think Robertson they'd have interest in, but then I don't know if he's even going to play baseball next year.
Kevin, when it comes to bullpens, like, They're a moving door, you know, a revolving door.
Yes.
It just seems like you're constantly, if they had a good year, man, congratulations. You got them on a good year. The next year, who knows if they'll ever be able to rematch that. And you want.
That is very
you
true.
You want to be able to say, look, I got Jeff Nelson and Mariano Rivera in the bullpen for the next 3 years. You don't know if that's going to happen. So I feel like they just got to keep working that.
So one of the things that Jim Bowden threw out there, because he's making some predictions for some of these teams offseason, 3 years, $33 million for Carlos Estevez, and the Rangers will make that signing. He was with the Angels, and then obviously he also played for Philadelphia.
Charlie Sheen's brother.
I don't know that to be the case, but that is a good call. 26 saves last year, ERA about 2.5-ish.
Sounds like a great sign.
Yeah.
If you can. I don't know if the Rangers have the budget to sign a $11 million free agent relief pitcher.
Yeah.
They might have to make some moves here and there to open this up that money.
That is actually going to lead me into my next question. All right. So kind of think of this as an either or. Now, so that's about $11 million per year. The numbers aren't exactly the same, but they're pretty close. Adolis is at $9.25 million next year. Nate Lowe could be around 9, 10 million arbitration-ish. I say you can swap in Estevez for one of those players. I realize it doesn't work exactly like that, but would you want to do that? And if so, who are you moving on from?
No to Garcia. I get what year he had. I can't. How am I supposed to replace? His bad year was 25 home runs and 80-something RBIs.
Something like that, yeah.
Can I replace that for $9 million? Even on that year, like, I'm expecting him not to have that rough of a year that he had. I know his batting average was way down. But I need 25 homers and 80 RBIs, somebody to bat in the middle of the lineup. He's flawed. He's not perfect.
He's a gamer.
But if he was a free agent, I think that he would get $15 million.
Okay.
Even based off of having a down year, I think he would be looking at like a 3-year, $45 million contract on the open market.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but does it not seem like at least some Rangers fans like Mitch Moreland in the past have been trying to get away from Nate Lowe for a couple of years?
And he's not terrible. He's not bad.
No, not at all.
He's good. The position itself is down.
Very.
And so trying to figure out how to get an advantage at that position is kind of what you're looking for. And I think Rangers fans, we've been very lucky at first base a lot of times, where we've had some pretty, you know, standout first baseman in the history of this. Even Lee Stevens stands out as one of those of like, good God, he was awesome for that year. So I guess I see what you're saying, Kevin, but I don't know, man. If he can hit a fastball, I'd love to have Nate Lowe back.
I guess the thing is, you already know the number Adolis is going to make.
Correct.
You don't know in arbitration what Lowe's going to get. The issue is he does have a silver slug. He does have a gold glove.
That's why I think it'll be 10-ish.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, you obviously could trade him. It was a very little sample size. I don't think Justin Foscue did anything close to enough to feel comfortable moving him to first base and saying, well, I'm going to get production out of that position. The Rangers, I remember mentioning this to you. I forgot the numbers because it's right after the season. They had the worst DH spot in all of baseball.
Yeah.
They literally were like, if you didn't have a DH and you had the Atlanta Braves pitching staff in 96, they did about the same offensively as a Colorado Rockies pitching staff would have done. A decent hitting pitching staff would have matched what you got from DH. First base, you got pretty good numbers when Nate Lowe was healthy, and they're not great, but if you compare them to the rest of the American League first baseman, he finished kind of top five in a lot of categories.
Yeah.
So he had maybe the fifth best offensive first baseman in the American League. And if there's 15
of them,
then how are you supposed to improve? There's nobody in the minor leagues. The kid Ortiz, I'm forgetting his first name.
Is it Abby?
Yeah, and that's what he goes by. He did not have a good year in Frisco. He didn't look like he was ready at all to compete at a major league level. So that's the interesting part of the budget and everything. All right, let me let go of Nate Lowe or however, and that opens up $10 million. All right, are you okay with having a 190 first baseman that has 8 home runs on the year?
That's why we ask these questions.